And you're listening to Sheldon Eskin and Friends, and I'm Sheldon Eskin, bringing it right to you. And who do we have coming up? Dr. John Day. Now, Dr. John Day is a medical doctor and vascular surgeon who has combined his medical studies with independent studies, Christian mysticism, Eastern spiritual paths, and crucial healing modalities.
As you grew, you became a very esteemed general and vascular surgeon. How did you get interested in the spiritual end of medicine?
Well, I don't think that influence ever left me from those early days. In fact, I think it continued to inform me. One way of thinking about our divine connection is to ask the question, what is God's idea of itself as your life? And I think that seed of informational knowing of what one's gifts are, what one's passions are, well, what it is that one is designed to develop and share with others as their gift of service is what began to inform my life in the early years. In those years, most people, and myself included, we have a rather vague idea of what's coming because we're so immature in the first half of life. Most of our life is spent in this somewhat aggressive approach to fulfilling what we think at egoistic terms are the processes of our life. And then in the second phase of life, we begin to reflect back on that, and instead of becoming more aggressive, we're much more interested in sharing and learning and expanding on some of the foundational blueprint that we laid down in that first half of life. And so, you know, the real answer to your question is that it's ongoing.
We're going to get back to Dr. Day in just a minute, but right now, let's take a moment for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Now let's get back to Dr. Day right here at Sheldon Eskin and Friends.
A lot of doctors, they look at it from a very clinical aspect. They see the patient, they operate on the patient, how are you doing? And then that's basically sometimes the end of really the hands-on approach. You do the medical, but you also offer as a teaching tool to assist your patients with their life processes. You do more of a holistic type of medicine. You actually deal with the whole person, yeah, not just the illness at hand. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. I usually say to people who come to me, and they usually come to me with a diagnosis or a disease state or a basket of polypharmacy concerns that they want to try to do something about, or they may have different diagnoses. They can have multiple diagnoses that are just descriptives of symptom states put on them by Western medicine. I would say to these people, disease is the beginning of the healing process. And if a person can embrace and align themselves with that thought, then they can begin to shatter the paradigm that Western medicine has acculturated or habituated our society towards, is that you have a disease and we're going to treat it with these kinds of interventional techniques or these types of pharmaceutical techniques, and that's it. And you have a certain prognosis. And so they're always trying to seemingly outsmart the divine healing energy or the divine healing process that we are all innately gifted with through our association with the multi-dimensions and with our divinity and spirit and associated with through our DNA, which is one place where all that energy comes through, and we're associated with it through our heart energetic. So I was evolving a way of thinking of people's disease states early on, and I was learning as they were learning. And in the very early days of my surgical career, I was just working in a 24/7 kind of work ethic that I must admit was slightly workaholic, nonetheless enjoyable and fulfilling. And I was able to interface with a large number of people in very intense circumstances, but I was also very actively pursuing the spiritual aspect of who we are through various teachers and teachings. And I was able to bring this together more and more as the years went by. I began to understand that the human heart is truly the seat of our multidimensional existence. And I was able to understand this not only at a sort of a teaching level, as taught to me by teachers, and through esoteric literature, as read about from prior ages and periods of time, but I also understood it experientially. And at that point, as I began to understand this issue of the heart experientially, through Eastern-based studies, and through my patient contact, the Western science began to show that indeed the heart is doing much more than pumping blood around. And in fact, it is 100,000 times stronger electromagnetically than is the next in line, which is the brain. Well, actually, the eyes are stronger than the brain. The eyes transmit an energy called idioretinal light, and that's another interesting subject of discussion. But the heart is definitely doing something besides pumping blood around, and we now know that the heart energetic of resonant frequency, which is 0.1 cycles per second, does inform all of our cellular matrix. It informs all of our DNA, and it informs also the transdimensional or multidimensional space from which we arise. So there is a new emerging science that I began to embrace as I began to embrace these other tenets that I was studying and as I began to embrace what I was learning through my own patients' lives. The other interesting aspect of interacting with patients is that they frequently, if not always, mirror to you exactly what it is that you need. And so people come into your life and they're going to reflect to you some process that you need to be knowing about in your own unfoldment.
That's what you consider your heart-based model for the Halen life stream model?
That's right. That is the key to it, is the heart-based consciousness. The Halen life stream, and I'll explain those words in a moment, is a study of a human process in a sort of reductionist format, once again a reductionist format, not unlike Western medicine. So in this case, it's reduced into body, mind, emotion, and spirit components, but then reassembled through a heart-based consciousness of knowing. And I did accept the teaching of earlier teachers of mine that the heart is the hub of all sacred places in our life and that we should go there and roam in that field.
And you started the Halen Lifestream model 20 years ago?
Well, it actually began to have a formal basis in about 1999 through a contact with one patient as the catalyst, but it was a culmination of contacts with many people, most of whom had breast cancer, which was the most informative of my surgical conditions that I treated. I treated great number of people with this issue, and these women had a very transformative influence on my education. Yeah, and so in 1999, around one patient who came to me who had a very complicated, not easy surgical, chemotherapeutic, and radiation therapy course. She went through all three of the phases of treatment that were offered at that time. This individual was resolute and strong, nonetheless suffered greatly in the course of these treatments, and came through it all for what I consider to be a very aggressive cancer process. And so at the end of these treatments, she came into my office one day and said, "Okay, now, John, what do we do?" Having finished all of the treatments, so I drew out a piece of paper and sketched on it a triangle with four levels in a hierarchical manner, the lower level being nutrition, the second level being exercise, the third level being self-love, which is an issue with breast cancer patients who've been through serious heart-based wounding, and the final level, the fourth level, is called vision work. Later, I expanded that particular model around the self-love feature and sort of expanded the self-love issue into mental and emotional considerations and spiritual consideration. So the current model of Halen Lifestream, which deals with body, mind, emotion, and spirit, has six levels of study that kind of keep me on course and keep me on course with patients. And they are nutrition, exercise, mental and emotional clarity, self-love, spiritual awareness, and vision work. Being able to know what one's gifts and passions are and be able to attract what I call a future memory from that field of possibilities.
We're here with our guest, Dr. John Day, who's going to be back in just a minute to tell us more about his private retreat, consultation time with him, as well as the enjoyment of wonderful amenities and profound natural beauty of Crestone in Colorado. Now let's get back to Dr. Day.
Where is the Halen Lifestream Center located?
I am located in a somewhat remote village in Colorado, Crestone, Colorado. Crestone on a busy day may have 1,000 inhabitants, and they're spread out over a fairly wide area along the side of the slopes of these massive mountains here called the Sangre de Cristo Mountains.
My understanding is your facility isn't just for people that are ill, but also for people that want to just get in touch with their own consciousness and really just unwind.
Yes, the community is noted for that, and I think many of us came here exactly for that aspect and for our own lives. But it is an ideal location for such a retreat in that it is remote and you do come into a place which is relatively devoid of a lot of the extraordinary distractions that you would become easily swayed by in a larger metropolitan area. And so, for instance, to paint the picture a little bit more, we're in a county in Colorado which is called Sawatch County. It's an old Ute Indian term. And this county is the size of Rhode Island. But in this county, there is not a stoplight. We're sort of removed, if you will, from a lot of the distractions of the ongoing hustle and bustle and congestion. And the county also only has about 7,000 people in it, so it's pretty sparse. It's mostly agricultural farmland here.
It sounds like a very unique setting for a wellness center.
I would say it's very unique. It is a community that's unique in other ways. I probably should mention this. We're the only community in the United States that offers open-air cremation as a way of celebrating the end of life for the deceased, and these ceremonies are very powerful. This community also has over 20 different well-developed and known spiritual centers and teachers and accoutrements there, too. And all of this is spread out along the side of the mountain in a very beautiful manner that was well done many years ago before I came.
When people come to your retreat or wellness center, if somebody is ill, I'm sure there's medical consultations that you can do with them. If they're coming in the way of a retreat and relax, do you consult with your visitors or your guests?
Usually, yes. There are people who come here and rent the retreat domicile for other purposes. They may actually be working with another teacher here that's related to their spiritual path. There have been a number of those people, those types of renters, if you will. And then mostly people come here to work directly with me over several days on whatever their life concerns in body, mind, emotion, or spirit may be. And people can come and work with me on any of those components. They're not obliged under any circumstances to work with me beyond what it is that their interest or commitment or accountability level is.
Your first visitor consult, do you like those best in person or do you do them telephonically?
The best way to do this, in my opinion, is in person. It's always best in person. The energy exchange is much more meaningful and much more informative both ways. However, having said that, if someone is consulting me for the first time, I do request that they arrive in person unless the circumstances are just too difficult. They're at a very far distance, so they don't have the finances to get here, nor the finances to stay here, etc. Then I'll try to initiate with them as best as I can by phone. Skype is an on-again, off-again situation here. We frequently will have computer interface outages, and so I have not learned to rely on Skype. The telephone does work well. I can infer a lot of subtle communicative issues with clients by phone. For those who cannot get here to have an in-person meeting face-to-face. So I do prefer that the first meeting be person-to-person, and then subsequent meetings can be by phone as clients return to their home base. And then there are clients who come here once a year to refresh, if you will, and to carry on with new levels of information, new levels of understanding, new levels of knowledge.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask that you give us your website so that people can get a hold of you. And I also want to say that people should go to your website. There's a lot of information on your website.
The website is www.halenlifestream.com, spelled HalenLifeStream.com. The word Halen is an old English term that the words heal, whole, holy, and holistic are all derived from in our current day verbiage. And the word life stream is a term that said differently, how can we heal the past and the influences of the past that are negative, that are informing us, that should no longer be informing who we're becoming, and then how can we set a new way of understanding a future time where we're attracting from a future time a different way of being in a more healthy manner. So I call that a future memory versus a past memory. And so Halen life stream also is a terminology that denotes aspects of life in this time and then our transition into life after life. So there is another dimension of what I do with people, which is help them with understanding of life after life, or called by the misnomer term of death.
I'll give to you a box of visions. I'll give to you a jar of hearts. I'll lend to you the gypsy's ear to hear the sacred harp. I'll give to you a house of mirrors, a thousand eyes, they belong to you. A labyrinth of wild roses, I know you'll find your own way through. Wait a while and you'll grow older. Never mind what the old folks say. Just keep an angel on your shoulder and never throw your dreams away. For they might save your life one day. Song is just a box of visions. You can't unlock it with a key. A message rolled up inside a bottle and dropped into the salty sea. A song is just a box of visions, a jar of hearts and a gypsy's ear, a labyrinth of wild roses, a journey through the house of mirrors. Wait a while and you'll grow stronger, but never mind what the sad folks say. Just keep an angel on your shoulder and never throw your dreams away, for they might save your life one day. I'll give to you a box of visions. I'll give to you a jar of hearts. I'll lend to you a gypsy's ear to hear the sacred harp.